It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Well, welcome to Quantum number 78, Quantum podcast that looks at news and views from throughout the world and tries to understand them from a Christian perspective. Can I just explain a little how this works? What happens is in this period of time, we go through, play some clips, we think about some of the issues, I express some thoughts, and here's a couple of things. Firstly, it's possible that my thoughts on this are wrong. So if you feel it's wrong, don't get too upset. If it's important enough, feel free to write and let me know. That's how I learn. I'm just thinking out loud. If you're my eldest daughter, you can, of course, feel free to agree with me as well as disagree with me. And secondly, I'll refer to stories. And what we do is we generally put links to articles on these stories so that you can get more information. Otherwise, if I was to give you all the information on the particular stories, this would be an incredibly long podcast. But we do look at ideas, and one of the ideas we're going to look at is this constant warfare between genders. Now, here is Jess Phillips, a candidate, or she was, she's just renounced her role as a candidate for leader of the Labour Party in the United Kingdom. Here's what she's saying about a woman being appointed.
When you're a woman in politics, it's always like, you're always told we have to pick the best person for the job, as if that best person, they never mean the best person. They often mean the best man. And that is disappointing.
Do you think men need to step aside sometimes?
I think that if you truly believe in women's representation, sometimes, and that goes not just for just women, in the way that intersects in other areas, that sometimes passing the mic is the greatest way to show that you truly believe in something. But I think it's a very, very difficult argument to say you should stand back if you truly believe you're the best person for the job.
Now, much to the embarrassment of the Labour Party, the Tories have had two female leaders, the Liberals have had a female leader, the SNP have got one, but the Labour Party, the Progressive Party, have never had one. So does she have a point? No, she doesn't have a point. The Labour Party should elect the best person for the job, whether that is a man or a woman. Having a woman who was less qualified or less able to do the job than a man would be really foolish. This was pointed out by the actor Lawrence Fox. Now, I love Lawrence Fox purely and simply because of the program Lewis, which is one of my favorite programs ever. I have no idea, and I couldn't care less what his political views were. But all of a sudden, a lot of people do care. Here he is on Question Time.
Keir Starmer.
That's original. That's original.
Keir Starmer
gets your vote, would he? And why Keir?
He just looks like he can take Boris on quite well. Do you know what I mean? That's what I get by.
You don't think any of the four women would be?
Oh, it's not about women. Jeepers, creepers. Sorry.
So I just was interested in your view.
Let me rewind. Any of the women. Is that better? Any woman. Because it's really important what gender you are or sex you are rather than what your policies are and how you approach politics. Come on.
I think, though, what Shami said, that is also part of the problem.
Well. It was incredible. It was just so refreshing. And the audience generally loved it. Now, we'll come back to Mr. Fox again because he said some other things. And of course, our woke cultural establishment have really been gunning for him, threatening that he'll never work again and so on. But what he said was just absolute common sense. Now, this whole idea of gender... And gender, we always talk about gender being a social construct, which it isn't. Male and female. Yes, there are differences. Yes, there is misogyny. Yes, there are misandry as well. But We are reverting in our culture, and we keep saying this, and here's further proof. We are reverting to a Greco-Roman pagan view of the world rather than the Christian view, which enhances humanity. We're going back to a Greco-Roman pagan view, which detracts from humanity. So here's this incredible article in the New York Times by Lauren Duca. And again, as I said with the links, it's worth reading. The fact that this was published not as a spoof, but in a serious newspaper, indicates how far down the rabbit hole our cultural elites have gone. Let me just quote part of this article. Gender is, of course, a social construct. Intervention, beep, beep, no, it's not. Male and female do have something to do with biology. But let's leave aside the science, because that's what our cultural elites do. They don't care about science. Everything's ideology. Gender is, of course, a social construct, says Ms., Mr., or whatever pronoun you want to call, Duca. The divine feminine is beyond that binary, best understood as the energetic force of nurturing. Plenty of male-identifying individuals are in touch with this force, although women tend to be more likely to find their strength in the divine feminine, in part because of the way society commodifies the stereotypical responsibilities of sitcom motherhood, such as cooking, always being the one to remember when to buy the toilet paper and giving birth. Yet that was apparently not a spoof, it was apparently serious. We're back into the world of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. And notice the phrase male-identifying individuals. You're not male or female, you just identify. And notice also that one of the stereotypical roles that's placed upon women is to give birth. I have yet to see and will never see a man who gives birth, no matter what the New York Times or the ACLU say. Let's come back to Mr. Fox and let's listen to him on Question Time on another subject.
Let's be really clear about what this is. Let's call it by its name. It's racism.
We're the most tolerant, lovely country in Europe. Let's celebrate our
What worries me about your comment is you are a white, privileged male who has no experience.
I can't help what I am. I was born like this. It's an immutable characteristic. So to call me a white, privileged male is to be racist. You're being racist.
You cannot dismiss.
Now, again, that's all gone viral and I'm so, so disappointed to see how many Christians, not thinking it through, have just repeated the dog whistle racism, not of Lawrence Fox, but of his questioner. Lawrence Fox was not being racist here at all. He was disputing the view that Meghan Markle has left Britain because of racism. Now, undoubtedly, she's experienced some racism. But he was disputing that that was the reason that most people don't like her or that she wanted to leave. And whether he's right or wrong, he has a right to do that. But not according to the questioner. Now, you see what the questioner is doing. The questioner is saying, you have no right to say anything because you're a white, privileged male. In fact, by being male and by being white, you are privileged and it should shut you up. And that's it. Now, here's the interesting thing. This woman had been employed by the BBC. I don't think she was at this particular point. This woman is a lecturer in race and ethnic studies in some polytechnic in Liverpool. She has a vested interest in talking up the race issue. And she has a vested interest in playing herself as the victim. I'm the victim. You need to shut up. Now, this leads down very, very dangerous routes. Let me give you an example of the West Midlands Fire and Rescue Service, who wants 60% of new recruits to be women and 35% to be from black and minority ethnic groups by 2021. I wonder if that includes me as a Scot. But here's the most appalling thing. They have altered the pass rates to make it easier for people from these groups to get through the test. So, I think the pass rate for white men is 70% and for the rest is 60%. Do you know what they're saying? They're saying that women and they're saying that black and minority ethnic groups are stupider. They're not capable of passing this test without it being lowered. Profoundly depressing. Another way this leads, and this fear of having a lecturer from a Liverpool polytechnic calling you privileged and racist, is that If you're working in social work, if you're working for government, if you're working for a corporation, you don't want to be accused of that. So you will ignore certain things because you're afraid of being called racist. And that is absolutely the case with the Manchester, Rotherham, in fact, many other places where there have been these grooming scandals. Now, first of all, I want you to listen to Cressida Dick, the chief police officer.
You know, for us, we have an ever-increasing number of referrals in relation to that, and I'm expecting to have future referrals in relation to organised or semi-organised grooming of children. But I don't think this is a sort of a phenomenon that was invented in the last few years. It really wasn't. It's been part of our society probably for centuries and centuries and centuries. It's hard to know exactly whether it's really going up and what's changing.
Okay, what's she saying? She's saying this has been part of our society for centuries, for which she is partly correct and also wrong. She's partly correct because the sexual abuse of children has something that has gone on for centuries. There's no doubt that that is true. But the systematic grooming of children for sexual exploitation, internet pornography, and other things. Is there no difference today? And the fact that it's been going on for centuries, you know, we've had illness and disease for centuries. Don't we want to do anything about that? It's difficult to grasp what has been going on here. Rotherham, Rochdale, Oxford, Telford, Newcastle, and many others. Now, the police have used the phrase Asian, say they are Asian grooming gangs, once they finally admitted there was a racial element to this. But this is not fair. It's not fair to the Koreans or to the Chinese or to Indians or the Vietnamese. These particular gangs have been overwhelmingly Pakistani Muslim. Now, that's not the same. It cannot be the same. And it would be ridiculous to say that all Pakistanis are therefore tainted by that. But let me tell you this. If these had been white Southern Americans, you can have no doubt that this would have been widely stated and used. But here, you cannot say that it's largely people from a particular country and people from a particular religion. People fear grasping this nettle, and they self-center. And it just leads to harm. Listen to this. 1,400 teenage girls were abused in Rotherham alone. And the police knew about it. And the social workers knew about it. But they did nothing about it because they were scared of being called racist. Okay, let's move on to another issue that we often cover, and that is the issue of abortion. And again, we come back to Rebecca Long Bailey. Now, Rebecca Long Bailey had said that she herself would not have an abortion and that she was opposed to abortion on the grounds of late-term abortions on the grounds of disability. And oh my goodness, the dogs of war have encircled her. Spiked, who I often agree with, they've got a complete blind spot on this, and I've challenged them and said, will you allow an alternative point of view? Well, we'll see how liberal and how diverse they are in terms of their points of view. But Spiked stated in an article by Ella Whelan that Long Bailey has angrily stated that she supports a woman's right to choose, but she continued to add the caveat that the disabled community are worried that abortion rights might lead to discrimination. This is a low blow from Long Bailey, suggesting that women who make the difficult decision to terminate their pregnancy in cases of disability are discriminatory and immoral has long been a ploy of anti-abortion campaigners. Except it's true. If the only reason you are aborting a child is because they have a cleft lip or because they may be born with a much more severe disability, then you are choosing, you are discriminating on the grounds of ability or disability. Even the Daily Telegraph managed to come in with an article talking about how Long Bailey's view denigrate women. No, they don't. The science, let's just go back to the science. The science is that there is more than one body involved. Actually, there are three bodies involved. And there's no way around that. But nonetheless, the issue continues in our society to be dominated by the elites who refuse to face up to the facts. And sadly, that's true in the church as well. Canterbury, the Archbishop of Canterbury, of course, we know well, but the Cathedral of Canterbury held an awards ceremony recently, which was not their awards ceremony, but their building was used to host it, and they are responsible for that. And it included Anne Faridi of Spiked, who is a militant abortion rights campaigner. And so we had an abortion rights campaigner being honoured within a Christian place of worship. And then there's the story of Julia Runkevich, age 24, an undergraduate at the University of Nottingham, who was studying midwifery and who was about to be expelled from her degree after lecturers raised concern about her fitness to practice. Why? Because she supports the right to life of the unborn. She was banned from completing her placement at a local hospital, and that has since been overturned. But nonetheless, it indicates where we're going. Okay, climate change. I told you this is going to be the year of climate change. And just consider this from David Attenborough's Wee Speech on the BBC on climate change.
Where on the bigger scale is this? Are these decisions needed to come next? Answer, China. If the Chinese come and say, not because we are worried about the world, but for our own reasons, we are going to take major steps to curb our carbon output because our climate is changing. We are going to do it. Everybody else would fall into line, one thinks. That would be the big change that one could hope would happen.
Yep, he got it right. He recognised that the problem is going to be China. And that China, with producing over a third of the world's emissions, is the major factor in all of this. Well, we will see what happens. Mentioning China, I always like to think about China. Premier Christian Radio had a very, very good article on the persecution facing Christians in China because of facial recognition and the use of computer technology. And then, of course, in China also, we've got the coronavirus in Wuhan, which even at the time of recording, I'm hearing that Wuhan has been cut off, basically. All transport into and out of Wuhan has been banned to see if they can contain this virus because they fear it may mutate and it may end up doing a great deal of harm and causing more than the 17 deaths that it already has. All right, we mentioned this already, but let's come back to it. Here's an example. Let's just take politics, gender, and the transgender thing. Now, the Scottish Government is busy pushing through its gender recognition bill and desperately trying to say, oh, it's just a matter of changing paperwork, where everyone knows that it's not, including the Scottish Government. Here's an example of how not to answer a question.
First Minister.
Well, obviously, I'm not aware of the terms of the discussion that was had last night beyond what Kenny Gibson has narrated in this chamber. I'm more than happy to ask the Justice Secretary to respond in detail on the particular point. More generally, obviously, this is a sensitive issue. It is obviously a controversial issue. I think it is very important that we respect and protect women's rights. I've spent a lifetime as a committed feminist doing exactly that, but that we also respect and protect trans rights and that we allow a proper debate, as the government is seeking to do with draft legislation, to convince those who have concerns about this that there is not a tension and there is not an inevitable conflict between women's rights and trans rights. And that is work that is underway, and the government will continue to take that forward in a responsible and sensitive manner.
So Kenny Gibson asked about women's prisons, as you heard, and Nicola Sturgeon answered, and I don't think we had time to show all the answer, but let me just simply put it this way. She didn't answer. She stated various things about what she was for, but she did not answer. The fact is, under this gender recognition bill, it is going to be the case that male criminals are going to be placed into female prisons, even if they're rapists, because they self-identify as a woman. All right, I read something really interesting this week as well on abuse and how to manipulate figures. Again, we put a link to the article. The Office of National Statistics has concluded that 1 in 5 adults was abused as a child. That's about 8.5 million people. Is that true? Well, this is where you really got to be careful about statistics. Because how they arrived at that finding, it's the simple device of expanding the definition of abuse to the point where it embraces practically anyone. It includes physical, emotional, and sexual abuse, as well as violence. So it includes threats and belittlement, as well as rape. So let's say if you as a child had ever been smacked, if you had a child had ever been given a row, if you as a child had ever been sent to your room, and so on. That can be classed as abuse. Now, when you do research like that, it makes it completely and utterly meaningless. We've now reached the stage in research where research is just being done as propaganda. Sometimes there's real research. I read 2 research reports this week, which I thought were just absolutely wonderful. One of them made me change my mind on one particular issue. But I've become so wary, and especially when you hear in media, research shows that. No. It's usually as reliable as the Kinsey Report, which, for those of you who don't know, is not very reliable. Speaking of not reliable, there are people who claim to be Christian prophets. Here's one of them, Cindy Jacobs.
Around 6 months or so ago, I issued a warning that there was going to be a problem with Iran that could escalate into World War III, and that we needed to pray about it. And yesterday we were on a prayer call, and the Lord had given me a word about the strike against Soleimani, that it was an intervention. And this was before I had heard any news or anything that there were further strikes that the general was going to do against Americans. And as I was praying and the Lord told me it was an intervention, I saw what would have happened if we hadn't had the intervention. I saw our military many, many dead. It was just going to be a bloodbath.
Cindy claims to have received a word from the Lord that there was going to be World War III between Iran and the US. And she's also claimed that God had told her that Donald Trump was right, the assassination of Soleimani. Now, let me leave aside the politics of all of this, and let me just simply say that this is false prophecy. This is just wrong. It is taking God, to me it's blasphemous, because it's taking God and his word and turning it into a political tool or an expression of one's own feelings. Why do we tolerate this nonsense? Or at least, why can't we just call it what it is? Nonsense. But there's good news in the church. There was the baptism of Roberto Firmino of Liverpool, which was widely reported. It does appear that there are a number of Christians, including the manager Jurgen Klopp and the Liverpool team. The baptism of anyone is a wonderful event in the world. A football star is more newsworthy. But for us as Christians, the lowest of the low, it's just as newsworthy. But it's great to see this being acknowledged in public. But not everything is acknowledged in public. Good old Chick-fil-A. Oh, let me tell you about Chick-fil-A. And we'll come on to Margaret Court as well. Chick-fil-A are moving out of Aviemore, so all their kowtowing to the culture and the zeitgeist, it hasn't worked. What amused me a little bit was a vice president or president of the secular society posted something along the lines of, yeah, hooray, they're going, and now all the Christians will be claiming persecution and so on. And he didn't have the awareness, the self-awareness, to realize that he was kind of disproving his own point. Because why was he rejoicing? Was he rejoicing because he hates chicken restaurants? No, he was rejoicing because it was a perceived Christian organization and they were being forced to leave. It may not be persecution, but it's certainly discrimination. And good old Margaret Court. Margaret Court, in case you don't know, is the most successful women's tennis player ever. And she's an Australian, and there's a Margaret Court Arena, and people are really upset at her because she's now a preacher and she doesn't approve of LGBT marriage. Listen to this.
Just as we thought the dust had settled, Margaret Court unleashes again.
Even that LGBT in the schools, it's of the devil, it's not of God.
At a Sunday sermon in Perth, the tennis champ turned church pastor fires serve at gay people.
No, they've got gay marriage. That's fine. We love the people, but they've still got a conscience.
And transgender athletes.
With that GBT, they wish they'd never put the T on the end of it, because particularly in women's sports, they're going to have so many problems.
The comments sparking renewed outrage ahead of next month's Australian Open, where the tennis great will make...
Well, of course, they're very upset. Meanwhile, the Rod Laver Arena opens gender-neutral toilets. I just wonder if they're going to have a gender-neutral competition. Why have men and women's sports at all? As we said, the whole transgender stuff is going to destroy women's sport. It's also going to kill men's sport. An extraordinary story from Canada. Transgender ice hockey. You are not allowed now to be a coach unless you're prepared to go through transgender training, a hockey coach. Egale, a Toronto-based charity, published materials indicating that children understand their gender identity between the ages of 3 and 5. And actually, they've said now it's between 18 and 30 months. Egale supported Kimberly Nixon, a trans woman stroke man who accused Vancouver Rape Relief of violating human rights because it would not permit a male-bodied individual to serve as a volunteer among the clinic's recovering female abuse victims. Imagine that, not allowing a man to serve amongst women who've been abused by men. But in this training, this is the astonishing thing, in this training, they have to look at these slides and they have to be able to identify these various genders. And this is one of them. I'm not making this up. There is something called polygender, which is described as people who identify as multiple genders simultaneously and can be several genders all at once, or they may alternate between their varying gender identities depending on the day or the week. Coaches also get a slide on genderqueer individuals who exist in an undefined extra-dimensional gender space that allows them to reject gender altogether. Although this is not to be confused with agender, or a label that applies to those who are merely genderless. Yep. You can't teach hockey unless you can tell kids about being polygender. Okay, we can bring all this together with the death of Terry Jones. Incidentally, let me mention the death of Nicholas Winton, a superhero, really, aged 106, who rescued 640 people from the Holocaust. Sorry to hear of his death, but also sorry to hear of the death of Terry Jones, age 77. Terry Jones was an expert on Chaucer. He was, of course, also one of the Monty Python gang. And, all right, well, I've just got to play this sketch, symbolic of his struggle against reality. Enjoy.
I want to be a woman. From now on, I want you all to call me Loretta.
What?
It's my right as a man.
Well, why do you want to be Loretta, Stan?
I want to have babies.
You want to have babies?
It's every man's right to have babies if he wants them.
But you can't have babies.
Don't you oppress me.
I'm not oppressing you, Stan. You haven't got a womb. Where's the fetus going to gestate? You're going to keep it in a box?
Here, I've got an idea. Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, not having a womb, which is nobody's fault, not even the Romans, but that he can have the right to have babies.
Good idea, Judith. We shall fight the oppressors for your right to have babies, brother. Sister, sorry. What's the point?
What?
What's the point of fighting for his right to have babies when he can't have babies?
It is symbolic of our struggle against oppression.
symbolic of his struggle against reality.
Going to leave you. Please feel free to give us any feedback, any information. Thanks for all those who send in all the stories. I can't obviously respond to them all. We'll leave you with Leonard Cohen, Steer Your Way. Let's just think about this. The line in that song, as he died to make men holy, let us die to make things cheap. As always, Cohen and the poet Leonard Cohen, gives us a truth, which is very profound. Think about it. Support the Quantum Podbean fundraiser if you wish, and see you all next week. God bless.
They whisper still, the ancient stones, the blunted mountains weep. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make things cheap. Say the mea culpa, which you probably forgot, year by year, month by month, day by day, thought by thought. Steer your way, oh my heart, though I have no right to ask. To the one who was never, never equal to the task. Who knows he's been convicted? Who knows he will be shot? Year by year, month by month, day by day. They whisper still, the ancient stones, the blunted mountains weep. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make things cheap.